2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Notice how chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians begins. It begins with, "For we know." For we know. Now the word "for" is going to take us back to the previous chapter. Look at the last couple of verses of chapter 4. "For our light affliction," this is 4:17, "which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal, for we know." And then he goes right in. In fact, there really shouldn't be a chapter division right there. So Paul has been speaking of the body as a temporary house in chapter 4, experiencing adverse circumstances. Now chapter 5, he carries that theme into chapter 5. And here in chapter 5, we're going to see that the future for most believers is not the rapture. The future for most believers is death. Now that may not be true. Because if Christ would come tonight, my statement just went down the tubes. But I think we need to understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He is emphasizing the futility of this earthly body. Now you get into chapter 5 and he begins to talk about the earthly body in metaphoric terms. In other words, he calls the earthly body, he gives it a name. He calls it a tent, a tabernacle, the covering of the flesh. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tent or tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So here we have this contrast, because the Apostle Paul is saying here, "For we are knowing," there in verse 1. And 2 points under verses 1 to 3. The believer has a physical body or a tent that is earthly and temporary, verse 1. Verse 2, "That is confined, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." When the house of our flesh has been dismantled, the soul leaves the tent. And then we discover that the believer has not only a physical body or a tent, but the believer has a spiritual body or a temple. Go back to verse 1. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands. This is not made by hand, not made with hands. It is not limited by time. It's eternal in the heavens. It's not restricted by space. It's in the heavens. Contrast that to the earthly. And so there's the contrast, but we're exhorted to remember not only the contrast of the tent, but the verses 2 to 8, the condition. And what's the word that the Apostle Paul uses there in the first part of verse 2? "For in this we..." Anybody groaned this week due to the physical limitations of your body? We took a hike a week ago yesterday. At the end of the hike, there was a little bit of groaning. I don't know if you got, I still get Charlie horses in my legs. In fact, I got one this morning. I woke up, oh, and they say it's because I don't have enough calcium. So my wife's feeding me these little calcium chews that taste real good when you first put it in your mouth, but really taste horrible. The aftertaste is horrible. So I don't take them anymore. But this morning, I wish I had. Groaning. You see, the believer has a longing because of our condition. Verse 2, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon. Verse 3, "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tent do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So the believer has a longing, number one, to be clothed. Number two, to be immortal. The believer has a pledge. Look at verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, or the down payment of the Spirit. You know how we know this is going to happen? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within. He's like the engagement ring. Not to put it lightly and not to be sacrilegious, but the Holy Spirit is the engagement ring. It's God's promise. He is God's promise. He is the first installment, guaranteeing that the rest is to come, and it could come soon. So the believer has a longing. The believer has a pledge. Verses 6 to 8, the believer has confidence. Look at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. By the way, can you be confident that once you die, that your soul, something happens to your soul, and that it happens according to what is said here? Can you be confident about that? There are some who aren't confident about that. To be confident about that, you have to have faith. That's exactly what he talks about. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And then again in verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If I'm absent from this body, where am I? I am present with the Lord. So the believer has confidence, dressed in mortality, verses 6 to 7, but dressed in immortality, verse 8, the future state of the believer is with the Lord, absent from the body, for the Christian is being present with the Lord. So, what do we do until that takes place? And that's why I'm building up to verse 10. But actually, verse 9. So, what do we do? Let's sit back and wait. No! Don't sit back and wait. Prepare. Remember not only the contrast of our tent and the condition of our tent, but also, here's the third C, the consideration. For we must appear, is what we're going to see in verse 10. You know what? This is why men don't like the idea of the resurrection. Because once I leave my body, where am I? And everybody has a sense that, you know, there's something after death, and it scares them. We have the opportunity this week to reach children for Christ who are at this age very tender, very sensitive. And they'll take the truth of God's word, and they have that simple faith that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 18. Hey, here's what Jesus promised. He did? That's right. You know what you must do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And here's what it means to believe. You depend upon him for your salvation, not yourself, not anything else. Oh, I'd like to do that. Yeah. And they do it. You talk to an adult, it's like, well, I've got to think, you know. And then all the complications start coming in. And no longer is it God's simple plan of salvation, it's God's complicated plan of salvation. Note what it says in verse 9, whether present or absent, we labor. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Look at that word, wherefore. Keeping in view that as soon as a Christian dies, he is with the Lord, we labor. Or literally, we have as my ambition, what? To be accepted of him. To be accepted of him. You know, people live today as if, I'm talking about believers, as if, you know what, there's no motivation for me to have to do anything. You know, I'm not going to live for reward. I'm not going to live for the, I'm saved. That's all there is to it. That's as much as there is. Not for the Apostle Paul. We have this as our ambition. To be accepted of him. You know what? We live in this tent. Think about your tent. that you live in. And that's hard to think about. Oh, but let's think about as if all of us were nomads out in a wilderness and we lived in a tent. Or let's go camping. You know, Dave set up his 10-man tent that was actually a 10-boy tent, not a 10-man tent. Can you imagine Dave spending all kinds of money on that, and Janet? Can you imagine Dave getting a chandelier for that tent? And a Persian rug, and dressing up that tent. You don't do that to a tent. It's temporary. It is not something that you spend time or money with brass fixtures and oak furniture and an entertainment center and so that it's temporary. That's what we're in. Now, I believe we ought to take care of our bodies, but there are some people who exercise as if this is it. Heaven is not simply a destination for the Apostle Paul. Heaven is motivation for the Apostle Paul. And if it's that way for him, it ought to be for us. It's motivation. Verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And now we get to verse 10, the verse we've memorized. So whether present or absent, verse 9, now verse 10, whether good or bad. For we must all appear. You see, folks, I want to be accepted of him. Why? Because you're going to appear before him. And who's the we? The Apostle Paul is including himself. So this is believers, not unbelievers he's talking to here. For we, I and you Corinthians, we must, it is necessary for all of us to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, in his tent, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Let's talk about this. Everyone and the place of appearance. All speaks of believers. By the way, where are the wicked going to appear? They're going to appear at the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And it says we must all appear. And it has the idea, as I mentioned before, as it is necessary to be revealed. You see, here it's easy to hide our motives. Here it's easy to pretend. Not there. The judgment seat of Christ. And you know what the word judgment seat is? It's bema. It's bema seat. This is why we talk about the bema seat. The bema seat is where the Christian appears. We will appear at the bema seat of Christ. It's literally, listen, the reward seat. When does this take place? You know when the bema seat is? Right after the rapture. Now understand something. We could appear before Christ tonight at the bema seat, tonight, every one of us. Because the rapture could take place even in the next few moments. Are you ready to stand before him tonight? Imagine the things that you have not done that you've been thinking you should be doing as a Christian. One day I'll join the church. One day I'll do this. One day I'll... Yeah. Whether good or bad, everyone and the place of appearance. Then secondly, we see everything and the purpose of appearance. You are saved by faith. Now the deeds committed in our life of faith will be judged. And it says good or bad. This is further illuminated upon in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15, a place I'm not going to go to, but that's where it talks about the wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. So when you look at this phrase, whether it be good, the good are the gold, pressure, gold, silver, and precious stones, he shall receive a reward, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just like I was telling the kids tonight, if you do such and such, here's your reward. But look at that word, bad. everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad? You and I are going to judge for my sin? Well, the word bad there means worthless. So much of what we do is worthless. It's worthless. It's not worthwhile. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's the wood, hay, stuff. The wood, hay, and stubble. And there it says, he shall suffer loss. I honestly wonder if the fire that is spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it says it should be tried by fire, is not the piercing gaze, the piercing fiery eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he's described in Revelation chapter 1, eyes as a flame of fire. And as we stand before his judgment seat, because we see here that this is the judgment seat of Christ. If the mere look won't be enough to burn the wood, hay, and stubble, and what's left? What are you going to have left as you stand before him? What's going to be there? Remember when Peter denied the Lord 3 times? One of the Gospels says that after he denied him the 3rd time, it says, and Jesus turned and looked at Peter. That has always arrested my attention. He turned and looked at Peter. And that's when Peter broke down weeping. And I wonder if that's not going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's why we read in Revelation 21:4, he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And yet, for all eternity, you either have the rewards or you don't. You see, people think that, you know, I'm a capitalist here, but I'm going to be a communist there. It's going to be one big commune. Everybody's going to be equal. You've got some Bible studying to do if that's what you think. Because it's not going to be equal. There are rewards in heaven. You say, well, I'm going to cast them at the Savior's feet. Yeah, but then you get to Revelation chapter 20, and in the first part of chapter 19, it's talking about the righteous, the dressed in the righteousnesses of the saints. I wonder how you're going to be clothed in heaven. If you had to be clothed in your deeds as a Christian, will you have any clothes on? And it says, the things done in this body, your tent. You see, the body is a tool to be used to work for the Lord. It's not an end in itself. And that's why I must keep my body in good working order. That's why, folks, that's why I exercise. I don't do it because I'm trying to be buff. Can you imagine that? I'm not going to Tim and saying, hey, man, I need some protein because I got to. Jesse was, you know, making fun of me last night because my arm is, you know, this arm up here is as big as his forearm. Up here. And he's making fun of me. So what? Now, if we're going to get into a physical brawl here, yeah. But folks, that's not what means anything when an eternity is in view. Notice what the Apostle Paul calls this judgment in verse 11. What does he call it? Knowing therefore the... Oh my. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, it's the judgment. We need to comprehend this, that one day you could stand before the Lord Jesus Christ empty-handed. Imagine your life spent as if this tent is the final home. You and I as believers should spend this time investing in our heavenly house. not dressing up this tent. But how we occupy this tent is important. Should we enjoy this pilgrimage? Yes, we should. But let's not live as if the tent of this world is permanent. Recognize that this house of flesh is temporary. We're in a groaning condition. And yet, in spite of that, our attitude should be confidence and faith that leaving this home is to be home. And to be and have the desire to be accepted of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the desire to be accepted of Him should motivate us. The judgment motivates us to be busy, involved. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, neither thieves break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your treasure is known by what you focus on, what you spend most of your time on. Folks, let's get the right perspective. Let's remember that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether they be good or bad. That could be very soon.